Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Chat, take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 334 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Primo in the building, and Mr. Damn Skippy himself, Hollis Thomas. We'd like to introduce you to Super Bowl week, Eagles, Chiefs. You might have heard of Super Bowl week. A lot of interviews are going out there. You got a lot of beat reporters apologizing to Jalen Hurts. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Super Bowl week is always a lot of drama, a lot of dumb questions. But at the end of the day, man, it's here. It's really real. And on Sunday, the game will be played. All the answers will be answered. And tonight we're going to talk about some storylines. If you have some storylines you want to talk about, bring them up in the chat. You know, we're just trying to figure out what people are talking about and trying to get everyone geared up for this week. I know it's Tuesday. It feels like every single day it's longer and longer and longer. I know Hollis is about to go out on a trip to Arizona, but we'll let him talk on that. But how are you guys feeling today?
Doing all right. It's been a weird day for sure. Overall, we are in Super Bowl week. We're past that bye weekend of the game that nobody cares about. They got to just cancel that thing at this point, man. The Pro Bowl has just turned into a complete.
Oh, God. Thank you, man.
Yeah, but like Gail said, dumb questions galore. It just was very reminiscent of Alshon Jeffrey when we were in the Super Bowl last time, and he was just like, man, I don't know why we got to come out here and deal with all this. I completely see where you're coming from now, Alshon, because Nick Sirianni being asked who he would like to date his five-year-old daughter. What were some of the other – oh, is this a must-win game?
Yeah.
Like, we just came all the way out here for shits and giggles. Apparently, they just let anybody have a press credential.
They ever do, if you only knew. I only went through it one time, and it's the biggest sideshow known to man. I found myself – back then, they still printed newspapers. So what I did was at my table, me and a truck driver, we were called Power. We dubbed the defensive units Power and Glory. We were Power because we came in on first and second down, and then Corey Simon and Darrell Walker came in for the glory for the sack. So Power was sitting at the table with the USA Today, chilling, answering all types of silly-ass questions. And they bring – dude, the entire world comes down there, and it's the funniest thing that you ever want to see. It is entertaining, by the way, though, but I would have rather been playing baseball.
We're 5 days away, man. I'm super excited. It definitely kicked in this afternoon because as I was driving home, there was a jacked up Jeep all eagled out, man. And as soon as I ended up getting next to the dude, I pull my window down and I'm beeping the horn and I'm like, let's go, let's fucking go. And then, you know what I mean? We're blowing the horns all down 42. So, yeah, the adrenaline definitely kicked in at that time. But look, man, just yesterday, the opening night, on the media, yeah, some of these media questions is just ridiculous, man. I guess they could go ahead. I guess I could look forward to next year, my son being 3, my daughter being 6. Maybe I could just go ahead and throw them onto the floor and get them to ask some questions, because, I mean, it's basically where it was at. Yeah, I mean, especially the question about who would you let date your 5-year-old? Like, I don't even know where the hell that person was thinking. Like, what? Where did you even get that question from? Like, it was mind blowing,
dude. It felt like TikTok influencers.
Yeah, man. Like, I got in on
media day, man.
But look,
I would have preferred to see Josh Ennis throw hands again. That's
hey, that cracked me up too. It was
our boys handled the question pretty much just plain and simple, man. Just like, you know what I mean, especially like that one reporter that was apologizing to jail, and like he just stood his ground and was like, okay, dude, cool. You know what I mean? All right.
Yeah.
Just seeing that, and you know, these guys are focused, man. And that's what I'm just so excited about.
You see that picture of it was Nick Sirianni, Darius Slay, I think Pat Mahomes, they were all on stage with the Lombardi trophy.
Yeah.
And you just saw Darius Slay locked into it. It's like not taking his eyes off the prize.
He wants it, man. He wants it. And you know, we're 5 days away from making all that happen. So I'm excited. Super Bowl's here. You know, Gail mentioned this is the time where all the answers are going to, you know, the questions that have been asked are now going to get answered on Sunday. So, I mean, like, let's just go, man. I wish I could just hurry up and get here. But
this is the big game. But this isn't the only bowl I want to discuss in this podcast. Gail, I mean, you went down to the Senior Bowl, man.
What I'm about to say.
We will be talking about trying to get the guys that and girls that were together with us to chat it up, but it's because it's weird. Like, I'm be honest with being at the Senior Bowl, I'm like, my head was on Super Bowl, and like anybody that saw me in the stadium with Eagles stuff on was like wanting to talk to Super Bowl. It sounds like it was just a weird situation because I'm trying to scout, but I'm also thinking about the Super Bowl. It was a great opportunity. I saw a lot of prospects out there, not as stocked as last year. A lot of quarterbacks, you know, didn't show up. Top talent didn't show up, but there were day three guys out there to be had. There's some depth pieces out there, but overall food was good. Food was amazing. I had crawfish for the very first time. It was pretty amazing. I was trying to think, would Prime eat this stuff? Probably not.
Not a chance.
They call it a dirty lobster. It tasted.
Prime won't eat clean lobster. He ain't dirty lobster.
But everything else was good, man. Food was good. Food was amazing. Then I got back in the car, drove back up, and I'm here, man.
Can you tell these people when you left for Alabama? You signed up
right after the playoff game. Got in the car.
Literally. I didn't know that. I didn't know that until you guys said that. I was like, wow, that is a man there.
That's after a tailgate, after sitting through the game.
I mean,
out to Alabama.
Yeah, me being at the game with Gail. I mean, Gail was actually trying to leave like mid third. I wouldn't let him. Like, nah, dog, you're gonna stand here and we're gonna celebrate because we're going back to the Super Bowl. So, you know what I mean, you can stay right here. And he stayed. And then, you know what I mean, like it was probably maybe about 3 minutes left. He actually bounced after that. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I still caught up with him, leaving the park a lot and all that stuff. So
well, I was actually kind of curious I was trying to figure out a plan because I ended up seeing the game from home with some friends, and but after the game, I mean, the city was electric, and I was trying to figure out what your guys' plan was. I figured that you would be out down in South Philly getting some content and whatnot. I wanted to link back up, and then I didn't hear back from you. Lo and behold, Gail is probably in Tennessee by the time I texted you.
I'm coming around the mountain.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Evan. I think I'm gonna save that for when we actually win the bowl, man.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, when you live in the city and it's literally partying two blocks from where you live, what am I gonna do? Not go check it out?
Evan, it's kind of funny you mentioned that. I came back from Wildwood, and I got her just in time, the fourth quarter, as things were winding down. Right. So I went over to my favorite watering hole. I won't mention where that is. As I was going over there, I noticed there was a bunch of police cars in the back of the parking lot. Now, that really did deter me because I felt like they were going to be just there to, you know, to make sure the crowd was cool.
Yeah,
security. But the police tanks. I was like, and then all I heard as I was pulled in was people honking their horn like E-A-G-L-E-S. I was like, so I came back to my humble abode and I had a couple of drinks and came straight on back home and I watched things from my window and from my TV and I made the right choice. And if you looked at everything on the news, it was nuts out there.
I made a big mistake that I will not be making this coming Sunday, where we won the game. I was ready to take the streets, and I was so caught up in watching the game that I didn't realize that my phone was on like 7%.
Oh, way to go.
So I got out on the street, realized that. I was like, actually, I'm going to go watch the Cincinnati game for like a half hour while this phone charges, and then I'll come back out.
Shout out to Antonio. He says, I saw him outside the pro shop, and he was trying to get that NFC championship hat. He says he got his championship hat. I mean, did you guys
Antonio?
Did y'all also see the new Eagle media jackets for Media Day? Man. Are we feeling the Super Bowl merch?
Absolutely.
So far? Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Looks so great. Far, so
good. The colors are fire, you know what I mean? And you know me, you know us when it comes to merch, man. The colors are fire. You know, I got your hat here. Give me a minute. I'll go ahead and grab it so I can go ahead and show everybody. But yeah, the colors to this year's Super Bowl, tremendous, man. So yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm looking to go ahead and get that.
Can we address the elephant in the room real quick? What's Why that? The fuck is QB1 at your house right now when he's supposed to be in Arizona?
He's relaxing, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, he's the spotlight.
Wow.
He's the spotlight. So I'm gonna go ahead and tell you the story about this. Today I dipped off at lunch. To go to my favorite spot in Woodstown, Cowtown, and I was looking for Super Bowl merch. Well, for some reason, it's not popping off like I thought it would be. So I'm walking by, I see this sitting there, and I'm like going to the gentleman. I'm like, sir, how much is that going for? He said, $20 is yours. No hesitation. Yeah, no
hesitation. That's easy.
No hesitation. Easy, there you go, sir. Let me get that. I went and threw that baby back in the trunk. Yo, and here he is, man.
Dude, that definitely wasn't even for sale. That was just some display thing that guy made $20 off of.
I think they're selling them for 45 bucks at Party City, I think.
No, last week before the NFC Championship, before I ended up catching up with you guys, the guy wanted to sell it to me for $1.20. I laughed at him like, it's not that
you know what we talked about? Well, speaking to some of these storylines, they're out there. I mean, if you have yours, bring them up in the chat and we're talking about them.
The Kelce Bowl, man. I think that's a pretty awesome storyline.
I'm about to bring up my thing here, you know.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you were asking for storylines.
Do you want to do the good stuff first or the bad stuff first?
We'll start with the good stuff first. And
okay,
then
start with the good stuff first. And then I'll get to the bad stuff.
You seem eager to talk about the bad stuff.
Yeah, because it's irking the shit out of me. But continue.
Yeah.
So now we're just supposed to talk about rainbows and butterflies while you're just sitting there.
No, we'll let you start it. Let's talk about the Kelce family reunion. How do you feel about the two Kelce brothers squaring off?
I think it's pretty
good. Good.
I was going to say, I think it's a pretty cool opportunity, man. I mean, especially for the parents of Jason and Travis Kelce, that has to be an awesome thing to be sitting there, because no matter what, one of your kids is going to be winning the Super Bowl. And not for nothing, but kudos to the Kelce genes, man, because not only do you have two sons that are in the Super Bowl, you have two sons that are Hall of Famers and, you know, some of the best in the game at their position. So, hats off to the Kelce family. And kudos to Andy Reid, who drafted both of them.
Yeah. No, the other one.
Before you get to the bad part, all right. I want to get to the bad part.
You already got him there, though.
Yeah, you already got him all steamed up once you mentioned Big Red. I'm just going to say big ups to Mama Kelce, man, because she held it down yesterday at the media day talking about her boy. And then the love, how she's going to show up with some cookies for both her boys. I thought that was pretty cool, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was great.
So, you know, me having my sibling, my brother, I mean, if that was the moment, like to be able to be in that moment, I think that's very cool. Like, I mean, that's probably one of the best feelings in the world. So I'm glad they were both able to share that. I'm glad they're both, you know, the first brothers to ever do it. They're both gifted. Like you mentioned, they're both Hall of Famers. So, I mean, hey, it's their Sunday is going to be their day to shine. And I could just imagine what's going through their head. I mean, like, you're rooting for your brother, but you're not rooting for your brother. So it's kind of like that's a tough situation I can see both of them being in. But at the end of the day, the love, no matter what, is always going to be there between them two. So, you know what I mean? Big ups to both of them.
Yeah. Big Hollis, not impressed?
No, I love the thing with the brothers going. But Big Red only drafted one of them. The other one was already there. I get sick of everybody continuing to pass the kudos on shit that he had nothing to do with.
He didn't draft Jason?
He drafted Jason. I say he drafted Jason. He didn't draft. He didn't draft Travis. Travis was already there when he got there. So.
I want to fact check that. The only reason I say that is because I heard on their podcast when Kelsey was being drafted, he said he passed the phone to Jason, and Andy asked him, "Is your brother gonna fuck this up?" And then and then Jason said he said no. And then he handed the phone back to Travis. Well, you just were adamant about the fact that it didn't happen.
It probably didn't happen though.
Huh?
I don't think it did happen though. I like the hat though. But I do like the Kelsey reunion.
No, we're fact checking that one.
Well, fact check it then, Dick Cheney. I thought you were gonna do that anyway.
Well, if I was the Kelsey pops in the building, I would walk around like this sack is all like, pro, man. So I'm making all pro kids. Left and right, I feel pretty good about myself. I think Kelsey's mom, I think she should be in line for a Chunky soup commercial. I think
I don't know why she doesn't have one.
She should. She should.
The funniest thing about this is everybody's talking about the pedigree and the football. So what about them being two good guys? No trouble on either one of their part, being good human beings in general. It's like, you see, it's like we often walk around with guys who do great things on the football field and are assholes off the field. What about raising two real good guys who are productive members of society? I commend them for that and being Hall of Fame. I feel like they both are first ballot Hall of Famers personally.
I agree.
And I think they're gonna try to fuck over them, but I've seen worse. But
we have a Cozy Bryant in the comments says he dapped up Travis Kelsey after the home opener, blackout drunk after riding the mechanical bull.
That was awkward. the bullshit needs to stop. Our team, we kicked ass all the way to the playoffs, and they keep throwing the microphone in front of the people who ask we kick face to ask them about our team. And I was like, what the hell do you think? One dude talking about we got lucky. How the fuck do you get lucky? 31-7 is not luck, Brian. Julian Love? Are you kidding me? He's like, y'all just got a playoff victory for the first time in ever. And then y'all came down here and you got throttled. They're throwing the microphone in front of me and they're trying to pick our team apart. Talking about anybody could have coached. No, anybody couldn't have coached this team and built them the way they could have. The way that Nick Sirianni did.
And Jonathan Gannon.
No, but well, and Jonathan Gannon. But I would not. You don't get flowers until after the victory.
You know who Sunday. You sound like? All the non-Eagles fans on Twitter right now. You're about to get exposed.
I sound like you when it comes to Jalen Hurts. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Dick Cheney.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry. But now, the part that's pissing me off all week long is they keep on putting the microphone in front of losers' face. But Tank,
that's all right, bro. Like, just let it be because it's been going on all season. You said it yourself. It's just constantly going on. But look, we fed off of it and we did what we did. And we're still doing it. We still got one more fucking game to go. So at the end of the day, when we win that fucking game on Sunday, who cares what they said?
The part that's pissed me off is not the fact that the people who are always on are talking. You put it in past ass whooping's face. Yeah, it's only two teams playing. It's only two teams playing. The people that should be talking are the people that were either on one of the teams or that has been in the Super Bowl and played in the Super Bowl before. We keep listening to. You know what? I was most surprised that Micah Parsons giving our offensive line their props.
Yeah,
that was the biggest surprise out of any of this. I expected the bullshit to come from them, but you got the kid Brian from And what the fuck are you looking at, Brian? Brian from the 49ers talking about they about to get exposed. Well, you couldn't do it, talking about we got lucky. No, luck is your quarterback slipping on the Milky Way coming out of the tunnel. Luck is not y'all trying to put y'all second string tight end on one of the best pass rushers in the NFL and thinking shit is sweet. It's like, take that. You took an ass flip and shut the hell up.
It's like, do you guys think I'm curious because, like, I'm not sure if when the Eagles lose, if I'm just – not checked out because I'm obviously watching every NFL playoff game.
Did you say if?
I'm talking about like when the Eagles aren't in the Super Bowl previous years. Right. Okay. That sort of scenario. Okay. I'm saying, is there this much whining and moaning going on in all of the teams that have lost, or is it? I feel like every year that the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, dude. It was the Vikings and it was the Saints that year, and it was the now it's the 49ers. Like, is this going on every year, all this moaning and whining, or is it primarily when the Philadelphia Eagles are winning that everybody wants to be up in arms and say something was unfair?
When the Eagles play, it brings out the worst in some of the media. There's always storylines, whether it's – I'm surprised we haven't heard – I'm surprised Santa hasn't showed up to media day, asking for his flowers. But I think at the end of the day, I actually kind of love it. Like, I'm kind of – piggybacking off Prime there, like I like the hate going in because when I know they start chirping and talking, that means fear. That means we can't handle if the Eagles win. We got to deal with these crazy Eagle fans that
like
it's gonna be like I love the hate. So you turn that into the energy. Look at all the hate that Jalen got. He's taking that and turned that into energy that is beyond light years. So I think. I think we do get the heat for now.
I think the funniest comment I keep on seeing though is the Eagles are going to get exposed in this Super Bowl.
Yeah,
get exposed? We're in the freaking Super Bowl, We're going to win this game, and then people are going to be like, "I can't wait for them to get exposed week one." Like, wait, what? What are you talking about?
Now I do have to let you know that I was wrong. You're correct about Andy Reid drafting the other Kelsey. I was wrong.
Takes a big thing to admit that.
That's one for Evan. Yeah, that's right. That's what you know it. But Sam damn, that's a big ass long ass comment. somebody read that. But the comment that you're speaking of, that's the one that was pissing me off. It's from the receiver number 11 from the San Francisco 49ers. It's Brandon something. Is it Brandon or Brian? I thought it was Brian.
Brandon. I've just been letting you call him Brian because
because he's a dick. No, but it's but then the one that was really irking me was during media day. They let fucking Michael Irvin interview our guys. Hey, sit your ass down, leave us alone. I don't want to see a fucking cowboy up there. If you earned the right to be up there, don't get the fuck up there.
Out here interviewing our players like in those temptation suits of his. Get off the stage,
Eddie
King. another topic that has been I've seen across the timeline we'll start with a positive in our favor. Hassan Reddick versus Andrew Wiley. We talk about we're gonna be talking more about Hollis Pigeons on Thursday, but just in general, this matchup right here, you want to talk about all world. Eagles front. I mean, Hassan Reddick has taken his game to another level, and then he has the opportunity to go against a guy that he should dominate.
Right.
This is going to be an exciting matchup right here. What do you guys feel about this matchup?
I want to talk about, I mean, obviously we could talk about how dominant Hassan Reddick has been this year as a pass rusher. He's been one of the best players in the league. I think one of the coolest things about it, though, is how he's a hometown guy, man. Yeah. The fact that he's in this, like, we went to the Super Bowl last time. We had Corey Clement from Glassboro, grew up as an Eagles fan, and he got to be a part of one of the most memorable plays in Eagles history in the Philly special. And now we have, you know, let's be real. Like, Corey Clement was the third running back on that team. He had very memorable moments, but ultimately he wasn't a running back one. Dude, we have one of the best pass rushers in the league on this team, and he grew up an Eagles fan. Like, he's living out his dream. I think as far as storylines are concerned, that's another cool one, man, for him to be able to go from Camden, New Jersey, and play for his hometown squad in the Super Bowl as one of the most dominant players on that defense. That's pretty freaking cool, man.
Well, I will let you know that the kid that he's going against, the Andrew, he kind of sucks ass at times. It's like if you look at their entire offensive line as a whole, they're really good together. Especially they got a little nasty streak to them, but at times Andrew, they got like 89 penalties on the season, and then most of them come from the offensive line holding. They have Zeus on the other end, Zeus Jr. on the other end, Orlando Brown Jr. who came from the Ravens. The Ravens drafted him, but Andrew he's one of the weaker links. He kind of talks shit at times, which gets him in a lot of trouble. And he's gotten a bunch of – he's known as a bit of a dirty player and a taunter. So he's gotten a few 15-yard penalties. Just – it was one 50-yard penalty. It had to be something he said because he just shimmied at the dude after the play. And
should linemen be shimmying at people?
Well, I don't think the shimmy had shit to do with it, but the flag came from like wow, right on you. And I'm like, what is he called? Because nobody touched, so he had to say something. So he runs his mouth, and there's nothing better to shut somebody up than to run by him and run over him. He's a viable pigeon, and he does not handle stunts well either. If you watch film, you'll see him getting plastered on the stunts, and that's because they're. One of the main things too about this offensive line is why I feel like we have the advantage is a couple of them are pretty young, and they're pretty young. They don't have that continuity like our offensive line, so we should be on the stunts and stuff and coming up the gut. We should be able to knock the crap out of them and then put them on blast.
Look, I mean the matchup is definitely going to be something to look forward to. Hassan, you know, definitely has the advantage here. I mean, the guy right now, I'm seeing some of the comments. You're right. He's a savage. He's a beast. He is locked in. I said this a couple weeks ago. I talked to a friend who's his barber, and he told me straight up, like, just trying to have a conversation with Hassan right now is not the easiest because he's so locked into football. And then bringing that momentum on Sunday, listen, that dude could go ahead and run his mouth all he wants. I know that man. That man's locked in. He ain't going to pay that no mind. And if he does, he's just going to let it all soak in, and he's going to take it all out on his ass. You know what I mean? So he's either got to find a way to either hold him, or they're going to have to double team him, maybe even triple team him. You know what I mean? So that's going to be definitely opening up the game for somebody else to have a big game. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing that defensive line going against that, whatever, if you want to call it offensive line. Like, okay, yeah, I mean, I keep on saying this, all the shit talking that's going on, but what I'm going to say again, I'm going to come out and tell you that this offensive line has not seen a defense like what we are about to see on Sunday. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Or shit talker, because Brandon Graham can shit talk like the best.
Oh, for sure. The master at it.
Kyler here with a comment. He says, I love how I'm already seeing and hearing folks trying to discount the Eagles Super Bowl win because they know it's going to happen, saying that they had a cake schedule. They're 9-1 against winning record teams.
I mean, we won two playoff games against teams that also
No, Evan. We destroyed the motherfuckers in the playoff game. It's not our fault that they didn't come prepared for an ass whooping. You had to bring when you come to kick some ass, you got to bring some ass. They left their ass at home, so we whooped what they gave us. Don't give me that bull. I love it. I love to dismantle folks who come with these type of things. That they didn't play anybody. Well, bring them if you want to line your mama and all them up outside. I whoop their ass too. don't tell me about who's lined up in front of me. If you stick your dick beaters in that dirt in front of me, you have signed a waiver for an ass whooping, a professional ass whooping, and that's what our team has been giving them each and every week. Everybody keeps talking that crap. And then again, surprisingly, The only one in the media, the regular media, that said that this was going to happen was Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin said I don't know if everybody's going to be ready for what the Eagles are about to do. He said that at the beginning of the season. And I'm like, wait a minute, damn! I didn't know how to feel about it because it was coming from him. But if you look at his track,
that clown is all over the place, man.
But when you look at it, when it's coming from him, it's just like, you know. Yeah. And it's just like,
exactly.
But then as it's culminating, he's like, I'll still tell you. He said, yeah, he probably is doing lines. You can only tell when he starts sweating on the show, but
I saw him sweating yesterday.
Oh, he's always sweating, man. Like,
I want to go back to the shit talking with BG, man. We said it. He's like the master. He's the man when it comes to. I love the fact that he don't ever mention names, though. He's always calling somebody out by their
number nine,
by their number, and I love it.
Like, I'm gonna be on that shoulder all day, eh?
Yo, listen, seeing the clips from the NFC Championship game between him. And what's his name? The fucking Kittles. Like Kittles was like a little kid. Like, no, please don't hurt me. Oh no, hurt me. He was like, yo, he wasn't even paying him no mind. Like, yo, I'm coming for that ass, regardless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, Kittle was trying to make a joke about
it.
I'm lighting you up, bro.
Yeah, was serious, bro. And I love it. I can't wait to hear the sound effects that are going to be coming out of this game. Like, I know he's going to be all over that field.
That's why that man needs to be in an Eagles jersey until the day he retires.
Oh my God, I agree, man.
Talk to him. Mm-hmm. Now, this storyline has been on the timeline a lot. Eagles defense, we just said it here on the pod. Eagles defense is different than anything Mahomes has seen this year. Exactly. And again, this is, you know, as I'm walking through the Senior Bowl, walking around, you bump into analysts that you love their work, and they start talking to you about the Eagles, and the majority of people that came up to me, they're like, couldn't stop talking about the Eagles front and how deep they were and the amount of weapons they have up front, and the fact that they think trench wise the Eagles should win this game. They should be able to run the ball, control the clock, and get after the quarterback. But is this true? Eagles defense is different than anything Mahomes has seen.
This is a different Eagles defense than I've ever seen, let alone Mahomes, man. Like I said, this was the number one pass defense in the league for a long time. That's due to lockdown corners and an elite defensive line rotation that's able to get pressure on the quarterback right away. I think that I have had the belief that the Eagles were the best defense in the league all year long.
Absolutely.
So I am 100% willing to say yes. Mahomes hasn't seen anything like that this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, I grew up into the 90s defense. I mean, I was around seeing that defense, one of the best
Hollises
defense
of the world.
Well, I'm just saying, at my time, the 90s defense was serious. Randall Cunningham didn't have that all-around team like we got today. So, I mean, like, this defense is definitely going to be one to be talked about. Yesterday, I was watching the meme, how they kept on talking about Baltimore's back-in-the-day defense, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's back-in-the-day defense, Chicago's back-in-the-day defense. I can't wait till after Sunday. This defense is definitely going to be put into that category because this defense has been unbelievable since week one.
I got to ask Hollis.
You had to put this defense. All we need is 5 sacks to pass the 85 Bears.
Now, Hollis, I want to ask you this question. I mean, you've seen a lot of Eagles fronts. Overall, can you agree with Bob's comment? This is the best D line ever.
I mean, that's what right now, yeah. You have to agree with that because it comes in waves. The only one that I could match it to is when they had Clyde Simmons, Reggie White, Andy Harmon, Jerome Brown, and all those guys up front. It was like, I didn't even notice until I researched it. For 3 straight years, Andy Harmon had 11.5 sacks coming from the interior. And wow. That's just playing because you playing next to Reggie White. Reggie mm-hmm. White getting damn near 20 sacks a year. So when you get when you put Hassan Reddick, when you add a guy like Hassan Reddick, and you bring the mixture is what it is. Is you got old and new, and the guys that they have there aren't too old and too long in the tooth. It kind of reminds you of what they did during the 2017 Super Bowl victory year. You had the guys coming in waves, but this time we have some younger guys too. and we got interior guys that give you that extra added oomph. Yeah, and so you have that great, you have that, once you have that great rotation and you have guys in there that could pretty much start anywhere else that they play. And the one thing that I will say that I think that made this D-line absolute chip was when Howie went out and got Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, because that allowed us to not play our Fletcher Cox damn near 80 or 90 plays a game. And so you get the other guys in there, and those 80 or 90 play games go down to 40 and 50 play games, because you're giving your guys 10 or 15 or 20 plays tops a piece to go in there and wreak havoc. And so they're fresher. So and the offensive line stays in there. And the offensive line, this is the funniest thing too, because anybody who is a pass rusher will tell you that you know, sacks don't come easy, because you have to set them suckers up. You have to set up the guy in front of you. And so you set them up. But then once the offensive line has gotten used to you, now it's somebody else coming there, throwing him an off-speed pitch, and he's coming faster, and he's fresher. So by the time he gets back to the other guy, it's sack time.
Yeah.
So yes, this is one of the best fronts that I've seen in quite some time.
And I want to also ask a question too, because this is something that I've kind of seen floated around on the Twitter timeline, and I know that this is something that Hollis, you may view with a biased opinion, I want to know what your opinion is on it. And that there's a lot of talk right now about Jeff Stoutland and how he is entering this new level of being canonized among among Eagles great coaches. And there's conversation that people are having that is he working his way above Jim Johnson as far as canonization of Eagles coaches? I mean, as far as importance in guys that we've had. I think it's definitely a conversation to be had right now when you just look at what he has done the past decade.
It's a great conversation to be had, but I think the only thing he does the offensive side and Jim does the defensive side. So yeah. Stoutland, you have just like you said, Stoutland University, and his ability to have guys ready each and every time somebody goes down, and it's like you can't, dude, you can't. It's nothing you can do. I wouldn't mention it with Jim Johnson, because I think they are two different sides of the ball.
For sure.
And it's like it's just two different things. But he's one of the coaches you should mention in the up there in that upper echelon, because he's come in and he's done exactly what he's wanted to do. And the funniest thing is
he turned a rugby player into a pro bowler, man.
I know. Yeah. All pro.
Yeah, all pro.
Ass kicking machine. The thing that I love about him and Jim Johnson is I think they love doing what they do so much. Like Jim Johnson had a chance to be a head coach, and I guarantee you, Jeff Stoutland's had a chance to be a coordinator.
Well, this year he was offered offensive coordinator positions all over the league, but denied it to come back here.
Well, yeah, because he enjoyed what he does, and that's why I was getting there with Jim Johnson. So, and I think he loves what he does so much, and he's going to be revered, and he know he'll get his just desserts. So, I think that's what is going to endear him and put him on the same level as Jim Johnson.
I saw this cool stat here. Flip it a little bit. This is interesting.
Yes, Bob. Chance Womack sucked ass. He thought he could fix that.
Now this here, if that I can't see. Can you guys see that?
You had it up for a second, but now it disappeared.
How about now? Can you see that now?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Eagles are 32-1 in their last 33 games. When they've only allowed one combined sack and turnover.
What's that stat? So you're saying either one sack or one turnover? Mm-hmm. Is what they've allowed?
A combined sack and a turnover.
So, I mean, if the Eagles protect the ball, man, and do what they do, the way they've been playing lights out, man. Like, again, if this team doesn't cause their own turnovers, I think they should be okay, man.
I think they
should be okay. It's one of the things that that a lot of people are talking about with the defense and the defensive line is we watch those other people and they sacked Patrick Mahomes twice, I think our guys are a little bit more active than the guys that they just played against and the other guys they played. They've only given up like 26 sacks this year. And I think it's mainly due to the way that Patrick Mahomes normally could move. With him nursing that high ankle sprain, that ain't nothing to play with. So kudos to him for even trying that last one. But I think hitting him more and putting him on notice, Chad Henne ain't gonna get it done. It's like I think once we hit him a few times and the guys that we have put him on notice that it's gonna be like that all day, he's gonna be a different quarterback because he's gonna start having that clock that he doesn't normally have in his head. When you hit any quarterback time and time again and you're all around him every time he gets ready to throw the ball, then he has that clock in his head. He's getting rid of the ball and he's looking back to the people who've hit him the most. And once he gets that guy has that clock in his head, here comes the picks, here comes the turnovers, here comes the fumbles. It's just the way it is. That's the order of business. So
what do you guys view as a more important task to do? Getting to Patrick Mahomes and sacking him, or taking Travis Kelce out of the game?
Taking Travis Kelce out of the game for me.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of people are forgetting that we got Kazir White, and the people don't know where we got Kazir White from. We got Kazir White from the Chargers, mm-hmm. who played against him twice a year, and Kazir White used to fare decently against him. And if you notice, we haven't had the same trouble versus the tight ends since we've got the kid this year. So I think that was in them thinking down the line, that was one of our Achilles' heels last year for our defense, is like letting tight ends get all over us. So
100%. I think
him and CJ is going to handle that.
I was just gonna say, but like we're talking about how this is the best defense that Patrick Mahomes has faced so far. I would also argue that this is the best tight end that Kazir White and CJ Gardner Johnson have seen this year as well.
Yeah, but you gotta remember Kazir White used to face Travis Kelce twice a year before he got here.
That's
true. So they're familiar foes. So it'll be some stuff that he'll be able to pass on and help out on that coverage. But to answer the question, I think it's better to affect Patrick Mahomes, because who's got to get Travis Kelce the ball?
Yeah,
I'm going to Patrick Mahomes. I think when you touch Mahomes and put him in a situation and make him feel uncomfortable, that's where he might start seeing ghosts after getting hit at certain times. You know, he's not the same Mahomes as the middle of the season. Obviously, he's at an MVP season, but right. I think with this high ankle sprain, there's still going to be some effects from it. I don't think he's going to be as mobile as he's been over, certain parts of the season. But I think the way that we're getting after – I mean, again, you just look at Hassan Reddick, man. Like, if you sneeze or just have a damn near thought for half a second, Hassan Reddick is in your lap. Mm-hmm. That's at the end of the day. I mean, having him be a shook one is the way to go.
Do you think that Hassan Reddick is a good dark horse for MVP of this game? I saw he was sitting at plus 3,400 right now.
Have you ever seen them lyrics from Hassan Reddick shook ones? Speak the wrong words, man, and you will get touched. You can put your whole army against my team, and I guarantee you it'll be your very last time breathing.
You put $50 on Hassan Reddick to win the MVP. That's a nice $1,700 payout right there.
You're quite the degenerate. Man. I like it.
y'all get any bets on this game? Are you on that level?
No, this tends to be the actual only game that I bet on.
Exactly, right here. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Coin flip and all that stuff. The coin toss and all.
Hopefully not us. I saw there was a call into the radio yesterday that I heard the last 8 winners of the coin toss lost the game.
Okay, what is that?
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard. So swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't know. I just work here.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
So, real talk. I mean, there's one of us on this podcast is actually going out to the Super Bowl. Actually, going into the Super Bowl. That's big news, man. Big news.
Whatever do you mean?
Big seats. Big seats and big news.
Well, whatever do you mean? Yeah, man. I'm going out with Philly Sports Trips. We're gonna be at McFadden's. We got the little Q&A at the hotel, and we'll be at Sedonia at the Hilton there with myself and Seth Joyner and another surprise special guest. It should be a stone cold group. And then after the tailgate, I'm gonna take Doug. Is my buddy Doug? He wants me to go in the game with him and Wilbert Montgomery. So,
Doug Peterson.
My boy Doug. you don't know Doug. I don't think Doug Peterson is gonna. I probably see him on Saturday night.
a wealth of mine with the
oh dear Lord.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're already there.
Interesting. Shout out to Adrian. Welcome to join the show. Yeah, Seth Joyner gonna be all caps. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Uncle Seth is always hyped. Let's see. We got another talking point here. The Chiefs running backs versus the Eagles linebackers. Where do you guys stand on that?
Well, seeing as they had the highest rusher one is like got 800 some yards, and the next leading rusher is Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's been they're talking about the young kid that they got out of I want to say the University of Rutgers.
Pacheco.
He's pretty. I think he's pretty good, but I think. I think we should be able to put him on notice. Knock his dick in the dirt real quick. If you look at some of the games, they lost three times this year. The three times they lost, they didn't really fare that. He didn't really fare that well, and they had to pass way more than they wanted to, and the other teams knew it, so they were able to take them out of the game. So I'm looking. That's what kind of game I'm looking for us to shut him down, and to cut down those little passing lanes, and to shut down that the screen game.
Yeah, you got to give respect to Pacheco and McKinnon. I mean, they've had a great year on the AFC side. But now that you're going up against the best NFC team in the league, look, man, I don't see that happen. I think these guys are going to go ahead and shut it down. We have Kazir White. We have TJ Edwards. I mean, shit, it'd be nice to even see the Kobe Dean get up in there a couple plays.
You know, like, you're going to be itching too.
I know. And that's just the thing, man. That's a good problem that we have. We have the linebackers now. Linebackers, we asked for that in the beginning of the season. We got it. And look, the outcome, it's great. We're in the Super Bowl now. Yep. So I think we're going to be fine in that category. I think those running backs are going to get checked by our linebackers. They're going to keep them in check. We're going to be fine, man. So, I mean, you take away that game, you take away Kelsey. Yo, Mahomes is going to have it's going to have a long day, man. So, I mean, hey, I think the game plan is definitely in our favor.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is actually coming back. Mecole Hardman is going to the IR. So that'll be a nice piece to the puzzle. But again, Pacheco's actually been he's been solid for where he was drafted. Yeah. It don't matter. He's out there balling.
I know that the quarterback was taken out of the equation, but the way I look at it too is that we stopped CMC and Debo Samuel last week, man. I view CMC as a much more talented player than Pacheco or any of those guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you know the weird thing too is it's like the one thing I was looking at is everybody's just talking about our defense and their offense, and nobody's really talking about nobody's really talking about the Chiefs defense. And we don't get that notoriety. You start to take that shit personal. So it's gonna be interesting. The most interesting part of the game is gonna be our offense. To me, it's gonna be our offense versus their defense, because their defense is gonna come in there pissed off. Mm-hmm. Because our defense has got all the accolades, our defense is getting all the shine, and so when they come in there, they're going to come in there pissed off, trying to shut us down. We need to kick that out of them, like we kicked the way San Francisco was the number one defense that we faced versus the run, and we ran the ball down their throat. So that's the one thing that I want to see coming out, is our offense coming out there out with a purpose to whoop ass and take names. That's it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think one way our offense could kick ass is pretty much what they've been doing all year. Do you guys think that the Eagles put up 30 like they have been all year long? I think so. They put up 30. That's a victory, bro.
Yeah, I think they put up 30 plus. The part I'm talking about the disrespect for their defense, that's only going to last in the first quarter. That's going to be their drilling for the first quarter. But they have some holes. I fully expect Steve Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, to fuck this up.
Rack Shack is asking you, Tank, do you think the Eagles should go with a 5-man front to seal the run and screen game?
Nah, I think they should keep doing what they're doing. It's like they have Hassan Reddick out there in case they want to kick down to an actual 5-man front, and I think they keep disguising it like that, because then it puts their young center on notice that you don't know if he's playing linebacker or if he's on the line. So if you don't count him, guess who's in the backfield untouched? I like the way the disguise is coming, because you put a Hassan Reddick in there as a linebacker, but then you kick the line over into a Navajo front, a bear style front, and you put him on the edge, and now you got 5-on-5, which makes a single team for everybody. So it's great the way they did that last game.
Now we have stat here. Chiefs screen game versus the Eagles front seven. The Chiefs here have 2,850 yards after the catch in the regular season. That's the most by any team in the last 15 years. And obviously, they'll try to slow down our front by throwing some of these screens. But I think the predictability factor, I think they will be ready for that. After getting that ass kick and not be able to run the ball, I think these screens will be more predictable as the game goes along.
I also think that is somewhat of a skewed stat too, because if you think about Tyreek Hill leaving the team, a lot of their vertical threat has been taken out of the equation. I mean, they've got MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster, which is a huge step down from Tyreek Hill and being able to have those deep balls. So I'm looking at that stat where you're talking about yards after catch. That to me just says a bunch of little dump off passes that they're able to get yards on and screens, which I think is primarily their entire offense.
It's funny how you mentioned Juju. Did you guys catch that comment he made yesterday? How we don't have the best Philly cheesesteaks? I guess Kansas City does. But if that was his way to stir up the situation, okay, buddy, whatever else you
see. Yeah. That just speaks to that entire team, man. It's a bunch of freaking cornballs, bro. Like he thought he was saying something with that statement. He thought he was getting under our skin. It's like, dude, you just look like an ass.
I don't know if it might just be me, man, but when I hear Patrick Mahomes talks, I just want to punch him in the face. Like,
I think it's Kermit the Frog.
I think
Kermit the Frog. When they have to break out all those stats about the screen game, sometimes I think our guys will be able to handle the screen game pretty good, especially given our rotation of guys, and some of the guys in there are smart. And that's why I mean when the best thing to happen to us was to get those two older guys, because when you're a big dog and they try to let you go, some shit is about to happen, and it's normally a screen. If you looked at it, we haven't been hit with the screen since we got those two big fellas out there. It's like, nobody feel like running up field all the way up field for you to toss the ball over our head. The hell is that? But it's
fair though. I mean, Big Red, regardless of how everybody feels about him in this chat here, he is one of the more effective screenplay designers in NFL history. I mean, my man knows how to draw up a screen. No,
not really.
I think it does.
Sean Payton.
I think it does.
Sean Payton.
Okay.
Sean Payton.
I'll give
Denver Broncos coach now?
No, Sean Payton. Now, when you look at it, it's like I could pick big red screen. I know the screen's coming every time. What Sean Payton did to me, he did while I was playing there, because he asked me, how do I, because you can't throw a screen on me. I don't give a fuck who you are. In my prime, or at the end of my career, you could not throw a screen on me. And it was, the main reason is because you're inviting me upfield. What the fuck are you inviting me upfield for? It's like it's common sense. And so what Sean Payton started doing to me was he started running the double screen. And then what I had to figure out as a player, who's going to go with the screen? Who's the best blocker? Who's the best athlete? Who do you think it is? On the offensive line, who's the best athlete?
The tackle?
No, the center.
The center.
The center would always take you to the screen. This is what I tell you. You always know when the screen is coming, because the running back always has that dumbass look like he's about to block, but he kind of just steps up into the B gap. That's one. He steps up into the B gap, and the side he's on, he's not on the passing strength. He's over there where everybody's running deep, so they can run everybody away. And so all the offensive linemen, all they have is little guys to try to block, to try to turn around and try to block them, whose back is already turned. That's it. And it's like, as a big dog, you have to know that. But when he threw that wrinkle in by running both screens, the first time he did it, I was fucked up, because I just kind of stopped and I looked both ways. And so then I started watching film. It's going to always be where the center goes.
Now, speaking about trick plays, I saw they had an event where they had Auburn and Alabama former players, but I saw Ronnie Brown. I was like, I was this close to ask him about the damn play, and I was like, yeah, I'll let him be. He's probably heard it his entire career, but I was like, is that Ronnie Brown? I was like,
what were you thinking, bro? What the hell were you thinking, man?
And so we just had the comment that was up there about the damn shovel pass. And yeah, we need to stop that, because it does hurt us in the red zone. But now, if you want to talk about something that he's a king of, that shit he's a king of creating different ways to throw the shovel pass. Mm. Like that's what he's a king of. The screen game, I give that to Sean Payton all day and creating mismatches, because I watched him dismantle some shit, dismantle some stuff a bunch of times offensively. But with Red, that shovel pass, he always gets it in there some kind of fucking way. You know it's coming, but then if somebody else catches it, because you think it's gonna be the running back, you think it's gonna be the fullback, then it's the fucking tight end. Then the next time it's one of the receivers. You never know who it's gonna be. That's the one thing I will give him credit for that.
Now, Bob from Down Under says our trio of Epps, Maddox, CJ, GJ, they are unreal together. They are unsung heroes of the season. If we don't have them healthy, I'd be worried about Kelsey in screens. I do think that group, I think they're up to the challenge. Like,
yeah.
As much as, you know, Tank was talking about, you know, the Chiefs defense not getting a lot of love, you know, they've been hearing a lot about Travis Kelce. And I think the way that we'll probably bracket him if they need to, I mean, with the clamps on the outside, I really do feel like we have some tricks up our sleeve for Kelce.
Blankenship.
Oh, Blankenship. Okay.
Hey, white chocolate. You can't live out. You can't leave out Blankenship. I think, put it this way, did you guys watch last night the opening? Opening day with the whole media day. If you saw some of the young kids coming up there, just their first year, and you make it to the Super Bowl, and to have those guys who've been on like the Linval Josephs and the Ndamukong Suh, and some of the other guys who in their first year they were on shitty teams, like. Ndamukong Suh, he was with Detroit forever, and you know they stuck.
Yeah.
But they had those type of guys on there to tell you to cherish this and give it everything you got, because you never know if you're gonna make it back here. That's the one thing that you want those guys to understand. And it looked like a lot of those young guys was getting it, and it was registering, because it was just like, man, they couldn't wait. So I was like, I can't wait to see it.
Hmm. Sean says, what's up, guys? I hope Wally knows what he's in store for. That ass whooping from Reddick, I fully commit.
I also want to bring up AJ's comment right now, too, because I've been looking at this, and I've been seeing this this sentiment a lot, too. If I can get it up.
They got medication for that guy.
AJ out here saying we just want to see a good game. I gotta tell you, disagree. I want this game to be over like by halftime, like all the other games. I want a blowout. I want the national media, everyone else that's watching outside of Philadelphia, to be bored by halftime. That's what I want. I want to be
all over the place just talking shit.
I just want to have everything that's in my drafts on Twitter right now just be able to hit send in the third quarter. That's what
I got them lined up. Not only that, Ev, it's like I want them to have to look for and search for shit to talk about other than the ass whooping that is being put before them.
Oh, well, if they didn't blow them out, they would have gotten exposed.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
49er fans, Brian. Giants fans, Cowboy fans.
It's anybody, a cupcake schedule.
Anybody else that wants to
cupcake
get up in there.
Super Bowl.
See, I want to be it by the third quarter where you start doing dances. You see everyone's like, everyone is unison. I think that's the vibe.
Yeah,
I don't need to be stressed out. I've been stressed out.
I don't need a good game. Yeah, that's a fucking good game, man.
Sorry, AJ.
be faded and X-rated.
talk about a player on the Eagles that hasn't been talked about enough going into this Super Bowl week. A player who has not been talked
Miles
about
Sanders.
Enough.
Miles Sanders is a great one.
I like that one.
It's going to be one of those. This is the one where I feel like he's going to set the table. Like I was telling you in the playoffs, how he set the table in both those playoff games, like run the ball down their throat, and then giving them a dose of the other two guys. Because it's like when the other two guys come in there, it's like, damn, that ain't Miles? It's like, no, it's not. It's like, but it's like he's going to set the table. And this is like where he's. I feel like he's going to show the entire world. Everybody's been shortchanging him. So,
For me, it's another alumni of Stoutland University. Man, I mean, we thought that Isaac Seumalo was going to be the weak chain in this offensive line, and Isaac Seumalo has had a great year, man. This has been a completely stout offensive line across the board. And, you know, like I said, we got nothing but Jeff Statlin to thank for that.
You know, the funny thing about what you just said, Ev, is like we haven't been talking about the offensive line the whole year. And that's how you know an offensive line is good. When you don't know them by name of it. Like, because Seumalo, he was stuck in my crosshair the last couple of years.
Yep.
But he finally put it all together to where we weren't talking about pressure getting on the quarterback. Like that, and you know, and creating a great running game for Miles to keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Tim Hayes, shout out to Tim. He says TJ Edwards. TJ Edwards has just been a level of consistency that you like to see.
Yeah.
Again, I'm talking about a guy who we thought was a two-down thumper earlier in his career. Now he's all over the field.
A guy I obviously pissed off.
He blocked
you ever. No, he pissed him off because he said that we finally got some linebackers.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't supposed to say that. He said it in the face.
Sorry. It's cool.
Sorry. And I followed up about 15 minutes later with a, hey, Nakobe, how's your leg feeling?
how's the medicals?
I'll take full credit until Evan killed it and took all the shine from it.
Mike says, yeah. Come on, Quez Watkins, show up, man. Last game.
Ah, yeah. Ooh, bro.
There's a potential for anybody on that offense to have a good game. That's just the thing, man.
If Quez balls out and has like a long touchdown in this game, I'll tell you what, man. Those mistakes from the year get forgotten.
Exactly. But let's just go back to 2017. You said it earlier. We had our third running back having an explosive game. I mean, I was just watching that game the other day.
Same. While I watched it last night.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like a third running back having an explosive game. So it's anybody's game to have on Sunday.
I just want to say real quickly, you know who doesn't get talked about enough in that Super Bowl run is LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount, we don't do that without LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, we don't. Oh, my God. Hell no. It's like the funniest thing, too, is like I can see Quez getting off. It's one particular reason why. Because I know Steve Spagnuolo, he's a He's a knucklehead. He's hard-headed. So I guarantee you we're going to get Quez Watkins on one of the big goofy-ass linebackers running behind on the switch-up, and it's going to look funny as fuck because it's going to look like he's not been being covered at all. I've seen it in this – I watch this team all the time, and every time they get beat on a big play is because he left a linebacker in there and thought that he could run with the receiver, and it didn't work.
Hmm.
So I got to ask you guys too, because I saw the mic'd up of the Eagles versus the Giants in the divisional round game, and I saw what was a pretty funny conversation, I thought, where there was players on the sideline, I forget who was talking, and they were asking if Boston Scott got into the end zone. They were all cracking up that he had scored on the Giants again because he's the Giant killer. And it just got me thinking right now about, like, do you think that, like, that was obviously a plan in that game by Nick Sirianni as an FU in New York to make sure Boston Scott scores. Do you think that there is, because of the Philly special in the last game, that there's some sort of trick play we pull out of our sleeve and maybe get a – I saw a Lane Johnson touchdown potentially, yeah, something like that.
You know, Nick has a slight chip going into this game with Andy.
Yep.
There is a possibility he's got something in the works, you know what I mean? To be on the other side of the sideline and, you know, just come out bluntly and say, fuck you.
But you know what I think that fuck you is gonna be? Is them running the ball down their motherfucking throat. He's not gonna, and to me, Nick Sirianni is the kind of guy who wants to put you on notice. Yeah, you fired me, motherfucker. Now I'm finna physically whoop your ass. And that's what I see this game going as, a physical ass kicking. That's just how I see it going.
Hey, look,
I don't think he's gonna say I ain't gotta trick your punk ass.
Yeah. Go ahead. I mean, at the end of the day, he could just throw it right back at him. I wasn't the first one to bring the Super Bowl to the city, but I helped also bring a Super Bowl to the city, something you weren't able to do.
See, I need Sirianni to have a t-shirt ready to go. Like, I know what the fuck I'm doing.
Okay. It'll be amazing.
I know what the fuck I'm doing.
Big Fish Little Boat talks about chances Fletcher Cox goes ham for us last time. Dude, honestly, I had this thought the other day. And the other sport entirely, I was thinking about, do you remember when Cole Hamels, his last game with the Phillies, right before the trade deadline, he threw a no-hitter. And I was thinking about, man, Fletch. Like, you know, I love Fletch, but we've been talking all year, contract-wise, realistically, he probably won't be on the team next year. Do you think that Fletch has a Cole Hamels-esque game where he's like, fuck it, last game with the Eagles,
Somebody has to. Yeah. I mean, look at Brandon Graham. He had that amazing play that will go down in history. Like, somebody on this team is going to have one of those, you know, what's his name, Patrick, the cornerback from
–
that caught the interception in the brain.
Patrick Robinson type moment.
Yeah. It could be anybody. I think Chauncey could have his way in the season somewhere. Yeah, slip in, get a pick six. Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe. He's thrown 12 picks. So.
Speaking of those trick plays, could you imagine we finally get what we've been asking for like 6 years and Mailata just running the ball on the goal line?
Douglas Mikes said he predicts the Johnson getting picked. I mean, it could happen.
I think he's gonna get it on one of the robbers.
Bob from Down Under has a question for you, Tank. He says, what did you see Gannon do differently in the playoffs so far?
I think he created different one-on-one matchups this time. A lot of times he would just leave the four man front up there. I love what he did with he did what we used to do to the when San Francisco was going to come out with max protection. That's why they kept the tight end in. Normally we have been standing down inside of the tight end and letting them double team our two interior guys and not creating the one-on-one. On that particular play, you saw Hassan Reddick kick out to the outside edge of the tight end to create a one-on-one matchup. Jim Johnson used to call that formation timber because they were trying to, because us blitzing so much, even though Jonathan Gannon doesn't blitz, us blitzing so much, they were trying to block up everybody. So we would kick Hugh out over the tight end, and you move the defensive tackle out a little bit to create the one-on-one. And that was the one thing that I liked about that. It's like when you look at it, when him creating those one-on-one matchups so that they can win.
Bro, you know we're winning Sunday. And you know why? Because Tank just said, I love what that man did. That man just said, I love growth. What that man did. The growth is
both
serious.
Growth
that flower done bloomed. Holy shit.
It's the couple's counseling. Me and Tank have been attending, man. We've been working on our differences.
The one thing that I'll admit when he's doing stuff right, but I will give it to him when he's wrong. But he's been doing right throughout the playoffs. He's been handling the business. Even with Vic Fangio going to the Dolphins.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, true, nah, very true.
No, nah, but he's
is that officially locked in? I didn't see that. I missed that.
He's the highest paid coordinator in the NFL right now.
No way. That means
Gannon's coming back.
Yeah,
that means Gannon's already said he's coming back, whether you like it or you don't like it.
Honestly, I like that.
Yeah. No, he did say he did say to you. Yeah, he probably was talking to me.
Did you see the video of him in the Jeep before the Niners? That was awesome, dude. Gannon gained some major points in my book for that one. Dude. We're gonna effing gut them.
because it's a lot of times it's stuff that the media and stuff and everybody else doesn't know that the other teams be talking all high cash money shit and that you can always tell when you go into a production meeting with the media that's covering the game. You could tell the bullshit and the way they treat you and stuff, how they treat you like shit. They actually may ask you a few questions and be like, go on, get the fuck out of here. Y'all gonna lose anyway. That type of attitude. So when you do that to people, we know what we got and we know what we can't do. It just fuels the fire, put it that way. And that's why like all these people that's talking all this shit, that you guys get your text messages. Get ready to send the motherfuckers in about the middle of the third quarter.
I'll be at
the game, and if we're up by that much in the middle of the third quarter, I'm coming down my shirt. I'm sorry.
Oh shit! You're gonna put Dunphy out of business, bro. Rakshak needs he needs advice on how to handle both winning a Super Bowl and having a birthday in the same weekend, and also happy belated, man.
I almost forgot about my own special day. I was driving on the road, so I got enough hours to think about like what the fuck am I doing? driving when I could have flown, but I saw a lot of cows. Had a lot of good time to think about good memories, but. Overall, a birthday and a Super Bowl, I think that was the most stressful day of my life. Because
it's either going to be the best or worst birthday ever.
It could be the worst birthday ever or the most kick-ass birthday ever. And it became the most electrifying event in my entire life. I was out there. I still have all the footage. I haven't shared it. One day
I watched it on the plane with you.
We'll make a documentary out of it or something. But it was just every single moment of that day, whether it was – just somebody just thrown up on the ground, and he just everything was beautiful. It all like, came up into you've seen all these people, thousands of people walking on Broad Street. You can't recreate that event. You can't recreate Evan. Like we lost Evan, we couldn't find him. We couldn't call anyone. Evan's phone is dead. He shows up hours later, cut eye, blood on his face. He's just having the time of his life. it's just crazy, man. It's crazy. But I did have ice cream cake. Had a birthday ice cream cake. That is a tradition that I always have.
Did you stop at like a Denny's or something in Tennessee to get yourself an ice cream cake?
I did. When I got home, I actually went to Peyton Manning's bar.
How was that?
It was all right. Drinks are kind of pricey. Yeah, okay. I sent take a picture.
Yeah, and, of Reggie White.
They have Reggie White on the wall. There's no Derek Barnett sightings.
No.
Only greats.
Can't get right.
Yeah, he can't get right.
Shots hey, he's about to have two rings.
Yeah.
Two. Count them. Two.
Yeah, man.
You know, the one thing is like I went to the – when you said the drinks were pricey, everything was pricey. I went to what's his – Archie Manning's bar down in New Orleans, and everything was real pricey, all the food and everything. I was like, damn. I was like, it's lucky this is free, though. But it was – when you said it was pricey, I was like, wow. In Tennessee, too?
It's like $20 for, like, a whiskey drink. I was like, $20. In Tennessee?
That's out of the frugal gang limit right there.
No, man.
And it's right on the college campus, sort of. So it's like
– these are college kids paying the
University of Tennessee. Drink? It's right there. Like the Mannings practically own half that damn strip over there. But, yeah, I was the oldest freshman in the bar. Shout out to my friend, who took me out with the all the college students. I was like, okay. I was giving career advice, you know. I was trying to be big.
Mentor Gale never stops. Mentor.
Mentor.
Oh, look at this guy with the
he's teasing you guys.
Oh no, nah, this is Gale's, man. This is his birthday gift.
Oh man.
You know what I mean? Oh, a little something for the mentor.
Nice. Ooh, that's swanky.
Yeah, man. I mean, like I said, the merch for this year is pretty neat.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, this thing's sitting out pretty good. The only thing that's just irking me. Mm-hmm. Is the way the Eagle, you know what I mean? He's got to get a little bit more slant in there, but, you know what I mean? That's just me.
No, you're right, because it's like you love your Eagle to be exactly. In attack
it's
mode.
It's got to be a slant.
You know why? Because you want it in attack mode.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But other than that, it's a fresh hat, you know? So, I mean, it's waiting for you, big dog.
You didn't get one?
Nah, I told you.
Is that too flashy for you, Tank?
Me...
Prime is too flashy for Prime.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's cool.
This part is killing me. I can't do it. I can't. Do
no.
It. No, I can't do it.
So once you when you get it, just bang it down so that you know.
Yeah, I got it. I got to rock
it.
I got to rock it that way. Now I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the. I'm giving it some time. I'm waiting for the fittest to come in this weekend. Hopefully they'll come. But if not, and I'll be copping a snapback with the 57 logo on the side. I already got the jersey, but I'm not gonna go ahead. I'm not bringing out my gear for Sunday. It's already on standby, bro. Ready to go.
Yeah, boy.
Let's see. Shout out to who is that? Andrew said that his wife's birthday is on Sunday.
Oh,
hey, okay. She's got a nice present coming her way.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a great feeling, man. You can't beat that that birthday
birthday victory.
Birthday anniversary, Super Bowl, a birthday anniversary. I'm like, I'll yeah, take awesome. That.
Unlike Brett Meyer, the kicker, cowboy
Brett,
kicker.
Brett Meyer. Okay.
The cowboy kicker who kept missing all the extra points and stuff.
Oh, I know.
Now Jason says, whose jersey are y'all rocking on Sunday, breaking out the Foles Super Bowl?
Jason, we're on the same wavelength, bro. I'm going to be wearing my Foles.
Tank, you can wear your jersey?
No, I'm gonna probably just have on some Eagle gear.
Cali Green?
I sure as hell won't be wearing Sidney Jones again.
Oh God, no. I don't know what you were thinking when you did that.
I wasn't.
I may rock my damn Skippy t-shirt because I know we're gonna win.
Okay, I like that. Prime, what are you rocking on?
I'm rocking a Jalen Hurts jersey.
Oh, the new one?
A new one, yes, sir.
The gray one? Cool. The gray one?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Yes,
sir. I couldn't help myself, man. I couldn't help myself. When I went to go get your hat, it was staring me the whole like as soon as I walked in through the door, it had Prime written all over it, you know what I mean? And I had to walk by it a few times and I'm like, I hear you. Okay, let's go. You're coming with me.
Yes, that is a swaggy jersey. I actually tried it on last night. You can put you know, another you Latinos like to come out with the white pants and the white shirt and the white shoes. So
I'm not going to Broad Street in white, bro. you know what I mean? With all the shit that might be around here that day, nah, I'm good.
I was like, yo, this jersey, I was like, I like it, but I was just like, I don't know, man. Just probably like you looking at the hat.
I mean, for some reasons, they're giving us problems on getting the green ones. I don't know what's going on, man. I don't know.
Joe, and did you see too that they talked about they're not going to be stock in the green ones unless the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're not doing that. That's the feedback that I got today. They're actually going to wait till after the Super Bowl to go ahead and let those out.
My only explanation for that is maybe they're mass producing them and they don't want to sit with a whole stock of them in case they don't win.
Yeah, I mean, that could possibly
Still stupid as hell because there's money to be made right now. There's so many people I know that want the green Eagles jersey with the patch on it. Y'all are wasting time and money.
They are going with the green jerseys for the Super Bowl.
They are. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Just want to give a big shout out before we get out of here.
Philly Sports Shout out to my computer that turned Philly's, back on.
Philly Sports Shirt, my boy. Philly Sports Shirts.
You know, to tell them about it, Tank.
Philly Sports Shirt. You're talking about the. I think we still have some.
Both of them.
Philly sports shirts. We still have some tailgates available. You'll be at McFadden's, which is right next to the stadium. I forgot what time, but go to phillysportsshirts.com and check us out. We'll be down there. We'll be there in Sedonia, and it's a bunch of activities that should be listed on there. But you can find all of that at phillysportsshirts.com. If you're looking for my damn Skippy T-shirt, go on Philly Sports Shirts. Drew is waiting for your beck and call. It's both T-shirts and pullovers. I talked to Drew today about you guys, and my people at Wooden Indian. What's up, everybody? To Dan and the people who provide us with cigars. To some of the tailgates, you guys have been privy to some of their cigars. Super Dave and Dan, and what else? Pete and Bob from up at the coast. I won't be in Wildwood. But they watching us. They keep us intact. He's the one who told me that I was wrong about the Travis Kelce. I was wrong about the Travis Kelce thing. Pete, Bob, and Brian, and Jim Coast 98.7 FM, and my people at Wildwoods. I'll be back up there soon. It's a great time up there. If you're ever up there, try the Hero Beer. It has a whisper of cinnamon. It's delicious. Changed my life.
Changed my life. Shout out to RJ, my former college teammate. Solid tight end. He said, come all the way from Connecticut to your Super Bowl watch party. He's ready to rip it up and celebrate it epic night. Everybody's ready. I think everybody's ready.
I think everybody's ready for an epic night. Well, I'll be there this time. I'll see you guys videos.
Hey, we want you to go live if you're at
the game. You want me to go live from the game?
When you're at the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm gonna go live from my seat after I stop sweating.
With your shirt on. With your shirt.
Bring the towel.
First of all, Prime, I don't like your tone about with my shirt on.
I don't either. Honestly,
obviously I was gonna do it with my shirt on. I didn't want to make everybody sick before they start eating. See? But I just didn't like your tone. It's like wait a minute, what? Like. I will go live. I didn't even think about that. I'll go live from the seat.
I think we all going live, bro.
Well, now the funniest thing was the only time I went to the Super Bowl, I thought the coolest thing was the kickoff. I was like standing there waiting on the kickoff, waiting on Ake to kick the ball off, and all the flash bulbs. I don't think it'll be the same. It'll never be the same like that again because of the cell phone now. But it's like all the flash bulbs, it was like poof, 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 poof. But it's like all the way around the stadium like a wave. And dude, I still get goosebumps thinking about that very moment. Dude, if you're looking for an awesome time, anything, that's the one thing that I will always remember. That first kickoff in Super Bowl with all those flash bulbs going off, dude, it was legendary. It's like you can't recreate that either. And it was like that's the one thing between that and having training camp at Lehigh. That's the one thing I think the players now are missing because I don't know if you guys heard my montage on missing training camp at Lehigh because that's how you endear yourself with the fans as they watch you get your ass kicked in training camp or win a lot, you know. And then you feel like you know each other. You've been through some stuff.
Yeah, Lehigh was an amazing experience, man. That was one I will not forget. I actually saw a Tank out there doing this thing. He had the wet escrow at the time.
Hey, that was all natural. Juices and berries, baby.
just let
your soul glow looking old so silky smooth.
I have an interesting little fun fact for you guys if you want to take a stab. I mean, we're going to have – I know that this has nothing to do with the game. We're going to have Rihanna as the halftime show. You guys tell me who the first big-time performance was in a Super Bowl halftime show? Because the first – I'm not going to tell you which Super Bowl it was, but the first several years it was like high school bands, that sort of thing as the halftime show because they hadn't gotten the TV contracts yet. So they didn't have the big money things. Who was the first big performance in the Super Bowl halftime show?
Big time performance? Probably, I was going to say Aerosmith.
It was Super Bowl 22. In 1988, Chubby Checker and the Rockettes were the first big-time Super Bowl show.
Yeah, we had Michael Jackson in the comps, a lot of MJ, Prince,
Whitney Houston,
So Glow,
Chubby Checker.
That was Hollis's haircut. So Glow.
that was back in the day when I didn't have a sunroof.
Oh man,
it's the farewell to Mother Nature, Father Time wins all the time.
So we will have a show on Thursday, but
Skippy,
just want to kick it with you just to get the juices flowing. Obviously, there's a lot of talk going on there. A lot of I'm seeing a lot of people's videos, and I'm getting FOMO from not being in AZ. But hey, you got to rep. Like when I'm out there repping, y'all got to rep. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tim. He's been enjoying the festivities.
Yeah, Kincaid and Nadia. Yeah, they've been there for the past 2 days, and they're definitely enjoying the festivities.
We're gonna have to rely on Hollis's timeline. So.
I saw Pat Gallen from CBS snap a pic of Tim and Jen. I was like, behind right away. I was like, that's definitely Tim.
they keep on picking on those two. Talking about the divided family.
It was his daughter, honestly, her hair that was the dead giveaway.
Now I'll start Friday morning with the journey down with putting stuff on my timeline. So I'll try to get you guys there in the moment so you can smell the alcohol.
Love it.
Smell like whiskey. That being said, last word before we get out of here, we'll start with you, Mr. Tank, Mr. I'm going to the Super Bowl. Damn, Skippy.
My last word this week is today. I'll be here Thursday. I have all my pigeons and stuff and my final breakdown of the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a couple more games I want to look at. So before we put a bow on this, before I give everybody who keeps asking me about what do I think we're going to throttle them. I just got to look at this last couple of games. And I look at the games that they lost, but then I look at the games right after it that they won. It's like, so I just want to, it was one thing I want to check out because they get a lot of penalties and stuff, especially on the front. And I just want to check out the number, the guy, Andrew. I've been breaking him down and I was checking out the moves that would kill him the worst. The interior guys, I feel like the bull rushes and swims and just kind of running those guys over because they're soft as cotton. But on the edge, you got to be more crafty because he's the one who took the gem out of, JJ Watt's donut 1 year. Like the kid, Andrew, that's why I say he's a tough motherfucker. That's like, but JJ Watt came in there, was talking shit and trying to run him over. And he was up to the task, but he was a little bit younger than that. It's just one more tape. I just want to look at this. And I'll have that whole pigeon breakdown and go Birds. It's like, dude, this is a joyous time. It doesn't come around all the time where you're the only football city, one of the only football cities left that has something to look forward to. Fuck everybody else.
Period.
Primo, last word.
Oh man, like I said, 5 days away, man. I'm super excited. But you see, this man right here, he's been talking about rent is due every single week. Well, you know what? On Sunday, he's cashing in, bro. He's gonna get it, you know what I mean? He's collecting his rent. His rent money's coming. You know, that man's going to go ahead and definitely explode. Really, really happy for him. He's come a long way. And he's, you know, he deserves to be there. I'm ready to see these guys go to work. I'm ready to celebrate. I'm ready to meet you guys, all of you guys out on Broad Street
on Sunday night, you know what I'm saying? So let's just get going. Be safe, you know what I mean? Let's just get ready, keep get hyped, because it's getting closer and closer. I know I'm there. I'm, you know what I mean? I'm ready to go. So, you know, let's go. Go Birds.
It was just 5 years ago that Doug Peterson sat or stood on the art museum steps and said, this is the new norm. And in typical Philadelphia fashion, we took the unconventional route. It was ugly. It was there were some points where we lost hope. But here we are, 5 years later, back in the big dance with a new quarterback, with a new head coach, with a new direction. And man, I'm ready for it. All these people that are talking about the Eagles are going to get exposed in the Super Bowl, pound sand. Y'all teams ain't playing. It's the Birds and the Chiefs, the two best teams left in the league. Suck on these. Go Birds.
My last word is at the end of the day, this Eagles team has been they've been amazing. They've been a team that you want to root for. The guys, starting with Jalen from the top to the bottom, to the front office, everybody's been in tune. They've been in sync. They've been a team as one. I think Eagle fans, week in and week out, you have reasons to travel to all the way to Detroit, all the way to Arizona to show up to every home game, cheering your team on, going to all these tailgates. They've been the reason for the season. I think you Eagle fans got to just give yourself a hat tip for supporting this team. This Eagles team is who we think they are. What matter? It doesn't matter what any outside source, any fancy media type. I don't give a damn who they are. You guys have been watching this team. You know we know what we see. We've seen some bad football teams over the century. We know this is a great team. They're doing great things, and I feel positive. I'm holding my chest out. There's no bitch assness. And at the end of the day, go Birds. We'll see you guys in the next one.
Go Birds.